As we continue our study of the book of Philippians, would you open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2? And this morning we'll be looking at verses 5 through 11, a most majestic passage. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Please hear the word of God, the great doxology of Paul regarding the work of Jesus. Philippians 2, beginning at verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Father, as we look at this most majestic passage, pray you would take away our apathy, our indifference, our spiritual deafness. O Lord, may you be glorified by our look at this passage about our Savior, Christ Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. I remember 2 weeks ago, we were looking at Paul's statement in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, where Paul told the church at Philippi that they, as Christians, were to be humble. They were to put others first, and they were to count others of more importance than themselves. And indeed, as we looked at that passage, we applied that to our church, that we as well are to be humble, putting others first and counting others as of more importance than ourselves. Paul now proceeds to give an example for the Philippian Christians to follow. It is an example for all Christians to follow. It, of course, is Jesus Christ who humbled himself by laying down his life for his people. Although he was undeserving of death, he willingly and freely went to the cross to deliver his people. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself here, so let's go to the text and dig into it and mine it to see what great things the Scriptures have in store for us this morning. Now, as I look at this passage, I must admit to you that I feel inadequate. Insufficient to explain the meaning of this passage. Thankfully, Christ is sufficient. Let's begin by looking at verse 5. Paul says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." That opening verse, the passage begins with an imperative. Have this in mind. Think! Exclamation point. It is an exhortation by Paul to all believers to think like Jesus or to have the mind of Christ. The Authorized Version translates this passage this way. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Or as the NIV says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. In other words, when it comes to the issue of humility, when it comes to the issue of putting others before ourselves, we should be like-minded with Christ. The well-known hymn of Kate Wilkinson that we're going to sing at the end of the service says, "May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me." May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day by His love and power controlling all I do and say. May the mind of Christ be in you. In verses 6 through 8, Paul then provides Christ's great example of serving others. Verses 6 through 8 speaks of the humiliation of Christ. The humiliation of Christ. Let's begin by looking at by verse 6. Who, speaking of Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Paul begins by giving expression to the deity of Christ. Look what he says there. Who, though he was in the form of God, Jesus, by his very nature, is God. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. He is the eternal and only begotten Son of God, King of kings, Lord of lords, and potentate of potentates. Jesus is the pre-existent Christ, the pre-existent Messiah. He did not become Christ at Bethlehem. He did not become Christ at his baptism. He is the eternal Christ. Christmas hymn by Edward Caswall called "See Amid the Winter Snow." He puts it well. Listen to what he says. "Lo, within a manger lies He who built the starry skies." Or the Christmas hymn by Cecil Francis Alexander. Beautiful hymn, once in Royal David City. Says, "He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all." That's where we begin. Have this mind among yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was God in the form of God, the very nature of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. That's a difficult verse, isn't it? What exactly does he mean there? I believe what it means is that Jesus did not believe his deity should be exploited. That is used in a selfish way. It's not something that he gripped and grasped and snatched to take advantage of others for his own egotistical ends. No, Jesus thought of others and put others first. Peter O'Brien, in his Philippians commentary, says, quote, "Unlike many Oriental despots who regarded their position for their own advantage, Jesus understood that equality with God did not mean getting, but giving." And so the eternal Son of God, the eternal Messiah, what does he do? Verse 7, he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And so Jesus made himself nothing. Note, the subject of this passage is Jesus. It is Jesus who is acting here. It is Jesus who is working here. Jesus made himself nothing. He willingly humbled himself. He willingly became nothing. And what this means is that Jesus divested himself of all the honor, glory, prestige, and privileges due him as the Son of God. Place, power, recognition, and rewards were his entitlements, yet he willfully yielded them. He willfully became nothing. Now, understand, he did not give up his deity, but he became flesh and blood. This is the incarnation. Jesus was truly and fully God, and he was truly and fully man. That's what we celebrate this time of year, is the incarnation of Christ, who divested himself of all the honor and glory and all the privileges to be born as a man. And the text says here in verse 7 that in this act he became a servant, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, the form of a slave. As Matthew Henry put it, Jesus clothed himself with the rags of human nature in order to be a slave. He clothed himself with the rags of human nature. I have an English friend who uses the following illustration. He says, think of the Queen of England sweeping the streets. Think of the Queen of England emptying rubbish bins on the street. Think of the Queen of England working in the kitchen in a hostel for the homeless. Think of the Queen of England queuing or lining up for a bed at night. That gives us a mere kernel, a mere small idea of the incarnation, that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, born in a stable with no place to lay his head, he became nothing. He became a slave, this King of Kings. But you know, it's verse 8 that really defines his humiliation. It's verse 8 that defines Christ's greatest step of humiliation. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He was a real man who died a terrible death, a death on a cross. And this method of execution was most degrading. It was most shameful. Roman citizens were rarely crucified because it was reserved for traitors and rebels. To the Jew, crucifixion was also cursed. It was also unclean. It was also a shameful death. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 22 through 23. Listen to what it says. And if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him the same day, for a hanged man is cursed by God. Deuteronomy 21. Jesus died a death that was cursed by God, cursed by the Romans, and cursed by the Jews. Now, Jesus not only humbled himself by his death on a cross, but even more unbelievably is the fact, as the text tells us, he was voluntarily obedient to this type of death. Look what it says again. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Jesus humbled himself. Jesus was obedient. And why? Why did Jesus voluntarily, willingly, suffer this humiliation? Why was he obedient to this disgraceful death on a cross? Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. There has never been such an act of humility, of putting others before self, as that of Christ Jesus going to the cross for his people's sins. He was fully undeserving, but he fully took our sins upon himself. Robert read Isaiah 53 this morning. I was struck again by the passage that said, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth, he bore the iniquities of his people. Paul is telling Christians, we ought to have that mindset. Have the mind of Christ. In humility, we are to count others before ourselves. Jesus has set the prime example for us. His activity is the very reason and ground of our selflessness. We put others before ourselves because that's what our Master did. That's what our Captain did. And as good soldiers of Christ Jesus, we are to walk in His steps. And then verses 9 through 10, we see Christ's exaltation. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Note how verse 9 begins. Therefore, consequential particle, as a result of Christ's obedience in his humiliation, as a consequence of Christ's obedience of the incarnation and of the death on the cross, he was greatly rewarded by the Father. Therefore, first, God has highly exalted him. Has highly exalted him. The Greek there literally says, has exalted him above every measure. Above every measure. He has been raised up and extolled to the loftiest point. He sits this very moment at the right hand of the Father in glory, having been resurrected from the dead. And in this glorification of Christ, in this exaltation of Christ, God has bestowed on him a title of dignity. Look what verse 9 says. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. A name that is loftier than any other name. And then in verse 10, so that the name of Jesus, that's the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And that one day, the great day, the last day, all shall pay solemn homage. All the inhabitants, whether alive or dead, will give Jesus his due. Indeed, all those who are in heaven or on earth or in hell will acknowledge the name of Jesus. They will bow the knee. Some willingly who have known him as Savior, and some unwillingly who have denied him. But at that day, they will all see. They will all see who he really is. Verse 11. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And on that day, all will confess that Jesus is Lord. Some willingly who know him as Savior, and some unwillingly who know him not. But there will be a universal recognition of the Lordship of Christ. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Potentate of Potentates. Forever and ever. Amen. And all of this, Christ's incarnation, Christ's humiliation, and Christ's exaltation, and up to the glory of God the Father. You see that at the end of verse 11. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All to the glory of God. For the Philippian Christians, and indeed for all Christians, this is good news. Not only do we share and imitate the humility of Christ by putting others before ourselves, but we share in the power of his resurrection. So that for those who know Christ, there is a certain and glorious future. The pattern for the Christian is Christ. Humiliation, humbling ourselves before others, and our exaltation because of the power of the resurrection. We are to walk in his steps. May we have the mind of Christ, our Savior. Amen and amen. Please pray with me. Father, thank you for this doxology in Philippians chapter 2. This Christmas message that speaks of the humiliation of Christ, that God became man, became nothing, and became a servant, that he might go to the cross for his people. We thank you, O Lord, for the exaltation of Christ that gives us great hope. Great hope in the power of his resurrection. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.